You know, 33 years later, it was the time of the crucifixion. It was the time of what Jesus had to, all of the things that he had to fulfill came to that point of time. And in his death, burial, resurrection, all of those prophetic voices that had been spoken from Genesis all the way to Revelations become a reality. And so we walk in the reality of a God that's alive, a God that loves us, cares for us so much that he said that he sent his only begotten son. And you understand about sons and daughters and how important they are to the whole picture of family and life that we live. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, today. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. And I just believe that God's going to continue to pour out the resurrected life upon us. We can't go crucify him again. That don't work. Thank God. And we don't have to do that every year. It was done once and for all. And so we can enjoy a higher level of life. Bible even states that we are seated with him in heavenly places. So I don't know, you might be sitting down here, but we are seated with him. And that's certainly a mindset. And so when you're seated with him, he gives you information from on high. And he's at the right hand of the Father, so I want to be seated with him. Amen. Well, we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God with our finances, with tithes and offerings. And if you're making out a check today, you can make it payable to the community church. And God bless you in your giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We had an opportunity last Saturday. We had a Zoom meeting, and I had several different countries. In fact, one called at some place in between Friday and Saturday, and he seen that we were having a Zoom meeting, and he was from Pakistan. I was thinking Iran, but it was Pakistan, and so he actually contacted Jennifer, and so we had Amanek and his wife Rita and their church in the service, and he spoke some things on praise and worship of where he was at. And it's kind of fun to get like a Central America, South America, and of course Pakistan, and we had others. Canada was definitely involved in it, and so we had all those folks on there. And it was a blessed time. And actually got us an invitation that anytime we're wanting to, we can tune in on Sunday morning and have a Zoom call to Pakistan. So that'd be kind of cool. You know, they're very colorful, I noticed, in their dress. You know, we probably would all have to take a look and say, okay, I'm going to look good in that. Hallelujah. Well, we have an opportunity. Again, we're going to continue on with that Zoom call, and we are not going to Zoom in on Pakistan today, but Jennifer and Jamie is going to come, and they're going to give us some more information and some teaching on that area. So, hallelujah. Bless you, Jen.
Hello. Well, we're really excited about talking about worship today, and that's what we're going to do. And we're really excited that we had an awesome Zoom call about worship, and we're going to continue it with today. And so, Pastor Len Ballinger, who most of us know from Pensacola, Florida, shared with us, and one of the things that he was talking about. So, in a lot of the in the Zoom, a lot of people talked about testimonies, and they were testifying of how worship changed things in their lives. So how worship changed you, how worship changed circumstances, how worship changed. And so one of the things that Pastor Len was talking about that I thought was very interesting is he said that humans were made to worship. We were made to worship. Okay, we were made to worship. And so if we are not worshiping God, then our default is idolatry. And so we'll always be worshiping something. So if we're not worshiping God or not worshiping the Lord, then we are always worshiping something. And so he said if we don't have our eyes on that worship, that we are actually falling into idolatry. And who wants to do that, right? That was just such a black and white for me. And so Jamie had such an awesome word. And so she's going to share, and then I'm going to share a few things about worship. And if you have anything that you want to share or that the Holy Spirit's talking to you today about worship, it's just really open to you. One of the things that we were talking about in the Zoom call is we were talking about worship songs over the years that had changed your life. And some people had said, this song, you know, this particular song completely changed everything for me. And for me, like, that song is a different song every week. It really is. And I feel like the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't know, he speaks to me through so much music. And I wish I could say I had a favorite song, but I don't, because it changes every day. It's like, oh, this is my favorite song. I'll listen to it all day long. But that's because the Holy Spirit is just doing something all the time through music. And so Jamie's going to speak, and yay. Yeah. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Okay.
I shouldn't be nervous because you guys are all family. It's been so long since I've been here and not behind the keyboard. When Jen asked me to speak on the Zoom on the topic of praise and worship, it's a very broad subject. There's so many different areas that you could go for. But immediately I thought of Paul and Silas and how they were wrongly accused, they were beaten, they were shackled to a wall in prison. And as we were singing this song this morning, the bridge says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I was a prisoner, and now I'm not. I feel like that is what they were singing when they were in prison. You know, they chose to worship. They chose to praise. They could have laid there. They could have laid there in this dungeon. I mean, this is back in the old days. They didn't have prisons here where they had nice little concrete cells that were clean. I'm sure they were laying in lots of grossness. After being beaten with open wounds, like, think of the scenario. Gross. But they chose to worship. And I bet you they were singing, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, and now I'm not. And then the Bible, it says, and suddenly there was an earthquake. Yes. Suddenly, they chose to worship, and suddenly there was an earthquake. Yes. And not only were they saved, but so was everyone else that was in there. You don't think about that, but in the scriptures, it says that. Not only were they saved, but everybody else in the prison were saved too, because they chose to put their focus here and not on fear. Yes. As I was driving to church this morning, the song Fear is a Liar came on the radio. And I was thinking, the thought came, what is fear? What is fear? Fear is focusing on the problem. Fear is focusing on the issue. I have a testimony. I guess I'd call it a testimony. After the Zoom, 2 weeks ago, I bought a pickup. I have wanted a pickup for a few years again. I'm a truck girl. I'm a farm girl. And I'd been driving in an Acadia. It was a very nice car. But you get stuck in the snow. You can't pull a trailer. You can't haul any hay. So we had went, and we went to trade my Acadia. They had first told us they were only going to give us very little. We get there, they doubled the trade-in value. So like, oh, this is Jesus. This is totally Jesus. And they said, we have this truck. It's very nice. It was very clean. 2007 Chevy Silverado. Got into it. We went down from two payments to one. We had paid off the other loan. So I was like, yes, Jesus loves me. So we had it for a week. It was a good car. It was going to go in on Tuesday to fix some speakers. So I spoke on Saturday. The truck went into the shop on Tuesday to fix the speakers. My husband called that afternoon to the shop to see if it was done, and they said, you need to call the dealer in Grand Forks where you bought this truck. So he calls me. He goes, you need to sit down. Your truck has to go back. I said, are you serious? I just bought new black rims and new tires. Like, I was loving my truck. There was a crack in the frame underneath the driver's side. It was rusted through this much in a U. And the front frame was twisted. You wouldn't see it from the outside. But he goes, we have a 2011 on the lot, a four-door. We are going to put you in this truck. Nothing will change but the truck on the loan title. You guys, four-year upgrade. Yes. He saved, I really got upset. Honestly, I was very upset because I liked my truck. And this was right after I spoke about focusing on here and not here. Like, oh, seriously. But when you, it brought to my attention, he saved us from possible death. Seriously. I could have loaded that truck with a round bale, which is 1,500 to 1,800 pounds, and that truck could have just died. And we all would have died with it. So God saved us from that situation. So I went, thank you, Jesus. I got an upgrade. Yes. So Paul and Silas, back, sorry, rabbit trail. So Paul and Silas, they focused here and not here. The suddenly came, they were saved. I thought about Horatio Spafford, who wrote it as well. In the Great Chicago Fire and all the Depression, he lost his business. He was a very wealthy man. He was very wealthy, and he lost his business, and he lost his four-year-old son. Years later, his wife and his four daughters went on a trip across the ocean. The ship capsized, and his four daughters died. So on the ship, on the way over to get his wife, who is grieving, and he's grieving, and he looks out in the ocean, and he gets the words, "It is well with my soul." He chose to focus here instead of here. He chose it. I think of Pastor Tom and Jen when they lost Max. Jenny danced at Max's funeral to "I Will Praise You in This Storm." I don't know that I could have done that, but they chose to put their focus here and worship their God instead of focus here on the fear and the loss and the grief. They chose to look here. Sandy and Jake, I was talking to Pastor Sandy about the topic, and she said when Jacob was born, she read the book From Prison to Praise, and it talks about choosing to praise. And she said, I laid on the floor, and I said, I thank you for my son who's in the hospital. I thank you, Lord. I praise you in this situation. And they waited for phone calls that say that Jacob passed away, but they kept getting phone calls saying, this is better. 13 things turned into one thing. They chose to focus here instead of here. When Adam passed away, I led worship that Sunday. And Pastor Mary came in. I said, Mary, I don't want to sing. I don't want to say you are good. I don't want to say it is well with my soul because it's not. But that morning we joined as a congregation and we put our focus here and not here. Because when we put our faith and focus in God, it takes our focus off the fear. We are choosing to worship Him instead of idolizing fear. When we're not worshiping Him and we're focusing on the fear, it's idolatry. We're worshiping fear. We're worshiping the situation instead of the one who's in control of the situation. When we put our focus and faith on the one who is in control, it takes our focus off the situation. It helps us let go of the situation and put it in His hands. There's so many times in my life where I let that anxiety and that build up until I go, God, what am I doing? This is not mine, this is yours. We literally just have to let go and put our focus here and not here. And also when we're in worship and we worship in the hard and then we worship in the good, it brings the suddenlies. Like the miracles come. When we put our focus here and not here, it's giving God the open door to go, here, let me see, let me show you what I can do for you. And the last thing that that I got when I was speaking, it said, I thought, when we worship, we're fighting a battle that we can't see. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. We're fighting battles that we can't see. And we're also fighting battles for other people, their situations. I know there's been lots of times in worship where I have worshiped because I knew that somebody else was going for it. In a situation, I just pray, God, the lyrics that we sing, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, and now I'm not. It's a declaration. It's from our mouth to him. The words that we speak, the choices that we make. I always tell my kids, right, Mike? You have a choice. You always have a choice. You can wake up in the morning, and you can choose, have a good attitude, or you can choose, it's Monday, I don't care, I'm not going to be happy, I don't want to get up, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go to work, which ruins your day. Yes. Seriously, it ruins your day. It's always, you always have a choice. You can choose to focus here. Nobody's going to judge you for it because you're human. We're human. I focused here a lot. But when we choose to focus here, it opens the door for God to move in our life.
Yes.
So I would encourage you, don't be scared. Like, oh, there's one other thing. Sorry, I don't have very good notes. I was talking to Pastor Sandy, and she said so many times people think of worship as in the church. That's the only time that we worship is in church service. We come to church for half-hour music, and then somebody speaks a word, and we go home. And I got convicted of that when I would randomly play church music in the car. I'd turn on Hillsong or Bethel, like the good stuff, and my kids go, Mom, why are we listening to church music? It's not Sunday. Oh, snap. So I would encourage you to focus here, and not here. Turn worship music on all week long. Turn it on. It doesn't have to be, it is well with my soul, which it is, because that's a good declaration. That's a good confession. But surround yourself to put your focus here and not here.
As she was speaking, I was just thinking so much we make worship about us, whether I'm not doing good or I'm not worthy or I'm not, you know, I'm not doing the best in my life or whatever. But you know what? God just said it's about me. And so sometimes we can be selfish in worship. I think I know I can be. If I don't feel like I'm like perfect in my spiritual life, then I shouldn't be doing this. But God says, just worship me. In it all. And so I think, you know, all of us could think about testimonies that we all have. And maybe if you don't have it right in your memory, maybe today is the day to start thinking about, you know, when did I worship and when did something change? When did the atmosphere change? And it was so funny because Jamie and I were kind of talking about this, doing this morning, and then you know, in the middle of the night, then God woke me up with a testimony, and of course, I could think of testimony upon testimony, but I forgot about this one, and it's a really big one, so I'll share it at the end, but I really think that I want you to be thinking about the testimonies that you have when you've worshiped through, you know, the storm, and so I was just thinking about worship, and I was thinking about, I want you to think about, too, your journey with worship. And my journey really started when I was young, very, very young. I started leading worship when I was really young because I had the opportunity. I was so grown up in the church. We lived right next door, and me and my little brothers would run over here, turn the amps on, and we would play, and we would sing, and just loving it, you know. And so I realize, like when I would think about that, I realized that he was setting me up. He was setting me up. He sets us up for being a worshiper. And for years, being able to do church or do worship in the church, and just sitting in the presence of God, we can never take that for granted. The fact that we're sitting in the presence of God together today is just so much. And so I think, like, just to think about, like, God setting you up when you worship. He's setting you up for something awesome. So let's just think about those places in your life, those moments in your life that you fell in love with the presence of God. I want you to just think about one time when that happened. I guess I could say this morning was one of them. You know, just being in the presence where nothing else matters. Nothing else matters except just what you're singing. And that is just so important. And those are the moments that we never forget, right? They're like unforgettable because there's no pain in those moments. There's no pain, zero pain. I can always remember the presence. And it's very dangerous to lose sight of those moments. It really is. And so this morning, again, when we were singing that song, Hallelujah for the Cross, I was a prisoner, but now I'm not. You know, I was thinking about, we think about the church in heaven. Like, what are they doing this morning? Well, all they do is worship. They worship, they worship, they worship, right? And then what happens? God fills the heavens with his glory. That's what it says. And then what are we doing on earth? We're worshiping this morning, right? When we worship, then what happens? That God fills the glory and he fills the government on the earth. And I think we have to realize that you are an ambassador for his presence on earth. And that's what we're doing. So what we did today, what you're doing in your car, what you're doing in your room, just remember that you are a royal priesthood and that we are stewards of the presence of God. We are the stewards of the presence of God, and I just don't ever want to forget that. So, worship is God's strategy. Yes, everything we need is in his presence. Every single thing. Worship is always an appropriate response. And that is something that's like been kind of going in my head. Worship is always the appropriate response, always, to anything. When things are going good, we respond in worship. When things are going hard, we respond in worship. If you think about it, we were worshiping before the virus broke out, right? We're worshiping our way through the virus, and in a million years, what will be happening? We will be worshiping. It's not going away. It is not going away. It's something that's a very permanent thing. And it's very important that we like grab that, the importance of it, that this is this thing that we call worship and lifting his name on high. We're just still going to be worshiping. It's never going to go away. And that's what I love, is this is like a permanent thing. I was thinking about worship, and I was thinking about David, or Saul, when he would call David to him because he was so angry. Do you remember the stories in the Bible that talk about that? And what he did. David was doing music therapy on him. He was doing worship therapy, and then Saul would, you know, he would calm down. And so worship can also be therapeutic. It aligns us again it brings us into agreement of where God is in this situation. And that's sometimes, maybe that's why it's so hard, because our minds are like, you know, and it's like, he's saying, worship me and your mind will come into agreement. This is how he releases his kingdom. He releases it when we're exalting him. When we're worshiping him, then he releases his kingdom. And so again, worship is about agreement. Worship brings us into agreement with God's perspective. Anyone can worship when things are going good, yeah? Yes. It's the truth. But even in our weaknesses, we have to go hard for connection with God. And I think it's really hard because then there's all those forces of the enemy in front of you, so you have to even like fight harder to get into that agreement with God. And so the strength of your worship grows when you learn to praise God in spite of pain, trust him during a trial, surrender while you're suffering, and choose to love him even when he seems distant. And, you know, we're talking about worshiping in pain, right? And I just want you to think about this. The only time, really, that you're going to worship in pain is when you're here on earth. That's it. That's it. We get this opportunity to worship in pain on earth. That's it. Because for the rest of eternity, what will we be doing? Worshiping in complete, you know, we're going to be in heaven. We won't have pain. And so that is kind of something that, you know, that we get to overcome here on earth, is to worship in our pain, worship through our pain. And because it says in the Bible that he will wipe away all of our tears, and we will not be crying in our worship. It will be pure worship. So we can't talk about worship without talking about King David, right? King David's like our guy. So what was it about this man, David, that so moved the heart of God? Think about David. That for all of eternity, Jesus will not be known as the man or the son of Moses, or not be known as the son of Elijah, but who is he known as? The son of David, right? Of all things that David could be known for, think about David's life. We know a lot about David. He was a giant slayer. He was an inventor of instruments. He was a warrior, a fugitive, a murderer, a king, a politician, a father, an adulterer. He was all of those awesome and terrible things all at the same time. Think about it. But here it is. Where's the heart of David? Where is it? David did not put his identity in the good things or the bad things about his life. He could have taken all that stuff on. And he did at times, if you read the Psalms. But in the end, when it really came to it, here is the heart of David. He did not find his identity in his accolades, being the king, or his failures. He found his identity in this. And let's read in Psalms 27:4, and we mostly all know this. One thing have I asked. This is what he says. One thing have I asked, one thing will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days, that I may gaze on the beauty of the Lord and that I may seek him. That is what it means to have the heart of David. It means that you are not exalted by the wins and you're not pulled down by the losses. You are simply locked in. You're steady in the presence of God. And I believe it was this kind of heart. It was the heart that said, I want your presence. I want your presence to have a resting place in my home, on earth. That is the heart of David. Psalms 132 says this. David said, I want your presence more than anything. I want your presence more than anything. That heart, I believe, won the heart of God over, and for eternity, Jesus will always be known as the Son of David. That's what the heart of David is all about. David put all of his other identities, and those were some really strong identities. I mean, he was the king. He was the king. Like, wow, that's a pretty big identity if you think about it, you know? I mean, we could go through all of his other identities. There was a lot of them. But he put all of them off to what? To worship. He abandoned, if we think about the day that he danced in the streets with not a lot on, he basically abandoned all of his reputation as the king. He had, because I think back then kings wore very kingly attire. They were very regal. He took it all off. He took it all off. And it says he was undignified. He was unkingly. In ecstatic joy, so he always wore the identity of a worshiper, always. So that is something that we cannot take off. We can't take it off. He was confident. He was confident in who he was. That, you know what, regardless of what I've done, regardless of who I am, regardless of who I'm not, I can be a worshiper, and that will change everything. And, you know, some of you in the church have heard about like the orphan mentality, and I always struggle to understand what that means. You know, I'm always like, what is that? And I really think that through this, I really understand that it's like, I don't have to be an orphan in worship and be like scared. You know what I mean? He's just like, come to me. In the righteousness of Christ, we all have the right to stand before our Father as his favorite. Who doesn't want to be your dad's favorite, right? So I have four boys, and they always ask me in front of each other, Mom, who's your favorite? And they know, it's like funny, because they know like that. Whoever asks, I say, You know, so if Brody asks, I'm like, oh, of course you're my favorite. And then they're like, well, who's your favorite? And then if they ask, because they just know it's like, it's kind of like a joke because like, who's your favorite, right? But who doesn't want to be God's favorite? We want to be people's favorites. We want to be God's favorite. Like, it's fun to be people's favorites, you know? And so we all have that right, though. You have the right to go to his throne as his favorite today. And he'll tell you that. And I truly believe he says that. I think he says, you're my favorite. Because we are. And then I think he says, you're my favorite too, because there's parts of you that's his favorite, you know? And so I think that is where a lot of people begin to miss it in the place of worship because of how many, if you think about it, how many of you know orphans worship different than sons and daughters? Orphans are approaching the Father from a place of fear, a place of possibly wondering, approaching the Father in a place of like, maybe I'm in trouble or I'm not worthy, right? Sons and daughters approach the Father in a place of worship, knowing I'm his favorite. I'm accepted, I'm loved, I'm his favorite. One of my favorite verses of all times is Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. What? That's what Paul said. Approach the throne of grace. Approach the throne of worship with confidence. Confidence of who your Father is. We have to remember that the Father is always approachable. Always approachable, always wanting, always saying, all that I have is yours. No matter how long it's been since we've spoken to him. And so I just encourage you not to be an orphan in your worship. Rise up as a son and a daughter. And that's something that I'm really working on, you know, is like not feeling that place of like, okay, everything's not perfect. He's like, well, please worship me. You said you wanted the heart of a worshiper, the heart of David. Okay, all right. You know, and because this is what happens, is since day one, let's just think about in the book of Genesis. Since day one, what did God want? He wanted what with us? He wanted relationship. He wanted intimacy, right? Intimacy has always been his desire. Always. If you think about the garden, he created it so that what? We could be totally, totally open, totally free, totally happy, right? And there's no space in between us and him. Zero space. Zero space. That we'd be going for walks with him, that we'd be knowing each other fully, that we'd be able to stay close and we'd be able to say, God, I love you so much. What you have created is so beautiful. I love my life here in the garden with you. And that's what he wanted, is there's no space in between us. And now I feel like worship on earth is it's like doing three things, and we have to do these three things, and we have to realize that when we worship, this is what we're restoring from the garden. Number one, we remember. We remember who God is. We return, and we reconnect. And if there's anything that I want you to remember today, that's what I want you to remember, that in worship, we remember, we return, and we reconnect. God, I remember. I remember what you've done for me. I remember who you are. I come back to you. I come to you. I'm sitting right at your throne. I'm not far. I don't want any space to be here. And I want to reconnect with you. And I want you to speak to me. And I want to speak to you. And there's no space between him and us. And that's what worship is about. Yeah. Is remembering, returning, and reconnecting. Because worship, if you think about the songs that we sing today, worship is about telling a story, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's the story about how loved we are. It's about how good God is. It's about what he does. It's about the healing that he brings. It's about what he has done, what he's going to do, who he is. And, you know, we have to remember this one thing, that the word coming, God's word coming from our mouth is just as powerful as it is coming from his mouth. Because it's his word. So when we speak the scriptures, when we speak his word, it's just as powerful. Just as powerful. So our stories must be proclaimed. Yes. They must be proclaimed and they must be told. They must be told. And I feel like a story was told today in worship. Yes. Sometimes it's really hard for me to like sit down because I'm always like moving. I always want to be doing something and working. And one day God was just like, sit down. What? I gotta go. I really do. I have to go do that. No, just sit down. I want to talk to you for a second. Just sit down. And I feel like the Lord told me that today, that you know what? You just need to sit down. No, I'm not talking about not doing things. I'm talking about sitting down in your spirit. You need to sit down in your heart a little. Okay. No space. I reconnect, I remember, and I return. There's no space between me and you. And when we sit in the silence, we hear his voice. In John 10:27, it says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. And they follow me, and they will not follow another." In the stillness, he speaks. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me, and they will not follow another. In order to know his voice, you have to hear it more than once, right? And I want you to think about, like, how do you hear his voice? How do you hear it? Everyone hears it differently, right? But it's his voice in your life. Some people just say they know. I always get jealous because my mom, she always asks for like a sign. And he always gives it to her, always. She's like, Lord, if I see a penny in my office, you're going to do this and there will be a penny. And I'm like, really? That's so easy. It's not fair. I have to sit in the stillness and the silence and try to hear you, you know? He speaks to her so coolly, and I just love it. But you know what? I kind of inherited a little bit of that, too. So not the pennies, but just, you know, the Holy Spirit connection. I saw it in faith, you know, by what happened with her, and I'm like, oh, I got that. And so now, like, if something's lost, and this is about the simple things, too. It's simple things. If something's lost, the boys are like, can you pray? I'm like, Lord, and we find it all the time, you know. But anyways, getting back to his voice. So if you talk to someone a lot, you know their voice, right? Yeah, you do. Like my mom's voice, like she just has to call and breathe, and I swear I know. You know, she can just breathe and I know it's her. I'm like, oh, yeah. But I think that we, you know, and then have you ever had someone call you and you're like, who is that? I don't know their voice. Because you haven't talked to them very much. We have to be able to hear the voice of God in our lives because we've heard it over and over and over again. And if you remember what I said, God wants to be speaking to you daily all the time. That's what he wants. No space, no time. Even when you're at work, he's like, I want to talk to you. I'm here. He's not the one who's going anywhere. We are. Right? It says in his word, like, just call my name, I'll be there. Like, I'm here. You're the one who walked away, you know? You're the one who's working and whatever. But you can talk to him at all times, and he's there. And I think that I really feel like that's a challenge for us to hear his voice, to be able to hear his voice in the midst of everything. One of the testimonies that I'm just going to share as I close, and if anyone has anything else to share, please be ready to share it at the end. But one of the testimonies that I had that God woke me up and reminded me of in the middle of the night was this one. And so, and this is about worship changing my brain. This is about worship changing my body, and it's about worship changing my circumstance, okay? So when I was in college, I was, you know, going to school, whatever, and I had a female issue that I had to have surgery on, and it was super scary because as a young girl, you have no idea what's going on, and this doctor was really, she was really harsh. That's why I like guy doctors, okay? Because girl doctors are mean, but this girl doctor was mean to me. And anyways, so she like basically said, like, I don't know if you're gonna ever be able to have kids, and like put all this fear on me, and that's a really kind of a big thing for women, I think, just like, what, you know? It's like, so fear, right? So there was fear planted in my soul about like just being able to have kids and all that. And so that was when I was in college. I got married, and then I was going to school in Grand Forks, and I drove there every day for an hour and drove out and drove back every day for an hour. And so I had lots of time in my car. And so I was married for a few years, got pregnant, had a miscarriage, and it just wasn't happening fast enough for me. It was like 3 years, come on. And then, you know, I just kept on like that fear, like was that fear had been planted in my brain, and it was literally driving me crazy for 3 years. Just like, it's not gonna happen, it's not gonna happen, you know? And I remember I went back to the doctor, a different doctor, and he was like, you know what? You're good. And he spoke the word, you're good. Okay, thanks, you know? But it changed everything for me. And then I started like talking to God. And in those times, those hours going back and forth, I started worshiping him. And there was like lots of warfare that happened during that time. Like I would be like, I actually was crazy in my car. I think if people would have drove past me, they would have been like, oh my gosh, what's going on with that person? Because I would be screaming sometimes, like to God, in like a good way, like just communicating with him, you know, and talking to him and crying. And then I'd be silent. And then I, you know, it was just all the emotions, right? But in that year, like it was just, I did it every day. That was like our time to do whatever. And then at the end of grad school, guess what I was holding in my arms? Storm Manning, you know, and it's like, I was totally reminded of it, and it seems so, it might seem so small to you, but in my brain, it's so big, and we have to remember what God did is so big, so big. Yes. Worship changes everything. It changes your brain. It changes what you believe. It changes your body. Like, I truly believe my body changed. It comes into agreement with what God says, and it was also because of what other people's words spoke to me, you know? They spoke hope. And so I think it's really, really important that we, like, think about our stories and think about what God, you know, because now I'm going to be thinking about that all week. That's a really big story. And we got to do worship and warfare sometimes at the same time. That's a part of it. And so as I'm kind of wrapping up here, does anyone have any testimonies that you want to share about how worship has changed things in your life?
This probably is crazy, and a lot of you don't know. I wear contact lenses, and they're hard contact lenses. And I've lost them on buses when I was going to college on the Greyhound bus. I've lost one in my seat. God found it for me. I've lost them on the floor, and God has found them for me with Les or one of the kids coming in. But anyway, Friday night, we went out for supper to Jean and Halverson's. The Halversons, and I wore my contact lenses, and without my contact lenses, I can't see nothing. I mean, that is my identity. I have to have my contacts because I wouldn't want you to see me in my glasses. So anyway, I got home, I took them out, put them in a contact case, and I went to bed. And then I got up and I found my glasses, and the next morning I get up, and we've decided to come into Thief River from the camp. Oh, I'm sorry. We're living out in our camper, 30-foot camper out by Goodridge. Got up, could not find them. I went through literally the whole camper, the bathroom, the kitchen, and usually I leave it by in the kitchen, and or where whatever it's by the sink, and I went through all my junk things that I went through my purse twice. I was like, okay, God, you know what? This is just crazy. I know you've done this before and you can do good. And I laid on the bed and I was like, you know, and I'll Praise You in the Storm, and all those songs were going through my head, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm just going to trust you. I literally could not find it, couldn't find them. And I went through the garbage, which is gross. But, you know, I went through the garbage. And I was like, okay, God. And we loaded up the truck, grabbed the dog, took off, went into town, got to town. I thought, okay, and this is, I'm such a whatever. But I dumped my purse out again. I said, maybe, you know, God has done this before. Went through the whole purse, dumped it out, went through all the zippers, all that stuff. No, nothing. I said, okay, fine. You know, God, I'll praise you. I wasn't stressed out and I wasn't freaking out, but I was like, you know, God, okay, thank you. And praising him through this thing. Because I thought, well, you know, that's $300. I thought maybe they went down the toilet, you know, something like that. And I was like, okay, fine. You know, and I had a bag that I carry my Bible in. It's a lunch bag thingy. It just fits my Bible. And when we travel, I put Les's tablet in there and my tablet and some games. And so I took Les's out, put it on his side of the bed, took mine out, grabbed the switches, and I don't know, for some reason, I reached into the bag, which I would never have put the contacts in this bag. And it's like, no way, God. And I pulled it out and I said, hey, Les, look at this. And here was my contacts. And I'm like, that is totally God. You know, I could have went forever and ever. But I think because I was willing to worship him and trust him and know that he's done it before and he's does it over and over again. Les lost keys for some locks. And he was like, sat at the table, went through all the keys, and he said, I don't know where these keys would be. I said, did you pray about it? He said, no, and then he prayed about it, and all of a sudden, it wasn't even a minute. He goes, here they are right here. I was like, wow, God, you are awesome. But hopefully that was on praise and worship, because it's worship and praise, because he always answers us. One way or another.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else have a testimony on how worship has changed the circumstance? Thank you, Dyla. Yeah.
You guys are doing awesome. All right, a couple weeks ago, Jake, you opened up Whom the Sun Sets Free is Free Indeed, and all this about our worship. And when we go through struggle, it's a trouble. Because the enemy knows who you are, knows how to get you going. And a few weeks ago, I had been battling for about a week and a half, and I go, no. And it is physical, mental, emotional, and I am going through a hard place. And I'm saying no. And every imaginable thing that comes ended up, Frank had to bring me into the emergency room, and I am thinking the worst, and I'm sitting there thinking, God, no, no. They came in and they said, yeah, we found out what's wrong. Your thyroid medicine is way too much. And see, this was one of the promises, divine immune system. So I don't know, anybody know about thyroid medicine, but your anxiety, your fear, your body. But you know what? As soon as they told me the truth set me free. All the symptoms left, everything, because why? Because you knew what was the deal. God had intervened, and it wasn't what I thought and what the enemy and all the body came into order. So I was thinking of you, Jen, when we go through these, to you, it is a major, because there's an enemy pounding you horribly. But as soon as you know the truth makes you free.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks, Deb. Any other testimonies?
You know, I talked a couple Sundays ago about dancing on the mountaintops. Well, do I look like a dancer?
Yes, yes you do.
Well, put a robe on? I don't think a robe would even help. I'm sorry. But, you know, we used to have a dance team here at the church. We still have dancers here at the church. But we used to have a team. And God prompted me and said, Danny, you need to join the dance team. And I'm going, no, no, no. And he said, you need to join the dance team. Well, I joined the dance team, and we had a fall conference, and we had a guest that came, Eugene Smith. And he watched me dancing. And he came up to me after, I think it was the last night of the conference, and he said, Danny, you need to go with me to Nepal. And I'm going, no. He said, Danny, you need to consider going with me to Nepal because the people in Nepal need to see men dancing before the Lord. And I'm going, well, to make a long story short, that was my first trip to Nepal. And we took the flags and we went up into the mountains and we danced. And at the same time, we took about $10,000 worth of medication with us to Nepal. Now, it's illegal to do that. It's very illegal to do that. But they took and divided the medication up in all of our suitcases. And then they said, okay, if one of your suitcases gets stopped, just leave it. Just leave it. And I'm going, oh Lord, please. There was only one suitcase that was searched that time, and guess whose it was? It was Eugene Smith's. And thank God he didn't have any medication in his suitcase. But you know, it just goes to show that God takes care of us. And when we'll step out in praise and worship, when we'll step out in praise and worship, God meets us. One of the reasons why we're here in this church is praise and worship. Because Lynn and I, from day one, we loved praise and worship. And we wanted that for our family. And we searched. We came from mainline churches. And we brought praise and worship into mainline services, and then we kind of got the royal boot, you know. But God is faithful, and he brought us here, you know, and we get to bask. We get to bask in praise and worship every Sunday. We get to do that. It's a true privilege, and I thank God. I thank God for the musicians and the singers that he's put in our presence, because it truly ushers in. It ushers in the presence so that we can be very close with him.
I think what you're talking about with worship, and you got to just do it whether you want it to or not. And the flesh doesn't want to. The flesh does want to always do everything else but worship. So we just have to say, you know, I know it's the right thing, and make your knowledge do it even if you don't feel like it. So taking advantages of whatever time you have just to step in closer, and then soon you'll want it more and more. And then that fleshly desire of not wanting to will go, and the desire to have it will. So it's like you're eliminating the negative and accentuating the positive, which is God. And so it'll become more and more and more. And then pretty soon your life will be a life of worship. And And then you just know you're in the presence 24/7. And I mean 24/7 in your sleep and every, and then you're just living in the life of Christ, why he came, the abundant life. Then you're walking the very steps of Jesus because he's your life. And then everywhere you go is a miracle and you can expect something to happen. So that's like the long-term effects of worship. And I experienced that this just yesterday. My husband was on his phone and he said, "Hey, I found this water purifier." Okay, I've been wanting a water purifier for probably about 10 years, but they're about $2,000. Of course, there's something always that's going to take that place of that. But when he said that, out of the blue, I haven't talked about that for so long. My sheep hear my voice. I knew when he said that, and he found it for like $300. You know, it's an ionizer. It's an antioxidant. It's like a high-power water system that cleanses and then puts all the good stuff in and takes the bad stuff away. I'm just a water girl. I like that kind of stuff. So long story short, I knew that was a blessing as a result of worship. I know that was God. It wasn't me. It was a blessing from him. And I contributed to just the presence of God in our lives. And you, why? Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, which is what worship is, you get the desires of your heart. So then as you do that, you know, you will be getting the desires of your heart. It's so awesome. And then I found that God's so gracious when you say, "Lord, it's all about you. It is all about you. It's all about you." But then there's this word that says he stoops down to make us great. And then he says, "It's about you." And then it just melts your heart. Then you're just the puddle on the ground, because then, and then you said, "Well, I don't need anything. All I've got is you." But he says, "It's all about you. What do you want? What can I give you? I'll give you anything." That's because you're his favorite. "I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? Just ask him." And then you have the opportunity at that point to ask for something, and you can get it. Yes. And it's all about him. But then, you know, and I mean that in the most holy way, but that's what I've found, that he's that gracious. And it's all about him. It's still about him, but then he's so gracious to say, "What do you want?" Yes. And that desire will be glorifying him in the long run anyway. So there you go.
Hallelujah. So good. So, so good. Well, if there's anything, I hope that you took, we kind of talked about so much today in worship, and just the whole service has just been, I feel like, a download after download after download, and I hope that you just leave here and that you can take something from here that's going to change your life this week. If there's anything, I just really feel like, again, he is worthy. Even if you don't feel like you're worthy, he is always worthy. And I want you to remember that. He is always worthy of your praise. It doesn't matter where you're at. He is worthy. And so to worship in a place of, you know, of confidence is just something that I am like moving towards this week. And to just, to that reconnect, that return, and that remember. And so let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done. And Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the truth, God, that you speak to us, and so that there's not supposed to be any space between you and I. And God, we just thank you so much, and we give our lives to see the incense of worship rise to your name, God. God, I pray that you would just rid us of our ambitions, Lord, of any desire that would lead me away from you. That's we just want those to be away from us, God. And we just, Lord, we just pray that you would use us to establish your praise and your presence in our cities, in our churches, in our regions, in the nations. God, we want to be like David, and we want to say, we just want to be the doorkeeper in the house. We just want to be the doorkeeper in the courts of the Lord, God. And we just want to be close to you. We just want to see your presence break out like a virus everywhere, God. A holy virus. We pray that it would spread. It would spread today from our worship today in this city, that it would spread to the businesses, that it would spread individually, God, that it would spread all over the globe, Lord, that it would not be untouched, God. And Lord, with all our hearts, with all our souls and our minds, God, and all our strength, we give you us And we give you worship and we give you praise and we remember the stories and we remember what you've done. And we thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Just a thought here. I was thinking about healing. And in his presence, all of the things that he has promised us is in his presence. And so I was just listening to the testimonies and the finding of contacts and different things like that. It's you went to his presence and then you found what you were looking for, and you'd say, well, you know, a lot of people say, do you do that every time? Well, apparently, you know, I know, like when you run out of things that you can't do, oh, it's time to pray. Instead of saying, well, let's pray, so you don't waste time on, okay, I've looked everywhere, I've done everything, I just think it's time to pray. And I was thinking about the word I was reading, and it was essence. And I looked up essence, and it was a presence of a person that you know, and they don't have to be there face to face. Usually everyone's wanting a face to face encounter, and then they can say, I know it because I've seen it. But in his presence, essence, and I think even in the garden, when he prepared the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve, they were dismissed because of their disobedience. And of course, that's what Christ come and he paid the price for, so that we can go back into the garden in his essence, because that's what Moses and that's what Adam and Eve was waiting for in the cool of the evening. It was essence, and he would come and they'd walk with him. And so when they decided to do their own thing, and that's really kind of like the worshiping of something that is not what we're supposed to worship. And so they were blocked out of the garden. But because of the power of the cross, because of the essence of who God is through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, then we are back, or we're making our trip back in to the garden. And your testimonies and what you said today was very, very powerful, because it's about his essence. And you know, I love the saying the Holy Spirit, but I really like to say the Holy Ghost, because you know, the Ghost is with me. You know, the Holy Ghost is with me. And sometimes we need to realize that there's an essence of his presence always. You know, if you're in the woods hunting, if you're out fishing, if you're doing things, his essence is there. You have achieved something saying, I'm going back to live in a garden. So with that, I appreciate, thank you, Jamie, for the Zoom extended. Thank you, Jennifer, for the Zoom extended. And so, and everyone that participated, God bless you this week. May the Lord be with you. May his presence follow you. May you be blessed in everything that you do according to his will. Because, you know, it isn't about you. It is about you and me and him. And that's about where it's at. And then we get to see the signs, wonders, and miracles because we're in the right place at the right time. And so God bless you. May the Lord be with you. And may you have a great week in God. Traveling, we've got some people that are traveling back into Texas again. We'll be praying for you, Father, in the name of Jesus, traveling mercies and plain areas, Lord, that they just see your hand moving all over the place. And that's an area that we need to pray with. And so, and everything else, Lord, that people are dealing with this week and month ahead, God, that there would be such a just a simple peace that passes all understanding, because you're there and we're in your presence. So God bless you. May the Lord be with you. Amen. Amen.